So we have completed the first two chapters. And the second chapter of Panchadashi with the title Mahabhuta Viveka Prakaranam or Panchabhuta Viveka Prakaranam or Bhuta Viveka Prakaranam. So after a long break we are starting, before we go to this third chapter, it would be better to see the summary of the second chapter. And I said that we have to do the last verse of the second chapter. I'm going to do 108th verse of the second chapter today to continue to, for us to remember, to recollect, and to get back to this class.
Pramanotpadita vidya pramanam prabalam vina nanashyati na vedanta prabalam manamikshyate na pashyati na vedanta prabalam manamikshyate. I'm repeating it. Pramanotpadita vidya pramanam prabalam vina nanashyati na vedanta prabalam manamikshyate. See, pramana utpadita vidya. Pramana utpadita vidya. Pramanam prabalam vina. Na nashyati. Na vedantat prabalam prabalam manam ikshate. So what he says, we all know the meaning of this word pramanam very well. Prakarshena miyate anena iti pramanam. So that through which something is gained, ascertained accurately, that is pramanam. So pramanam is a valid means of knowledge. We all know this very good, very well. So pramana utpadita vidya. So here the word vidya means, knowledge. The knowledge utpadita, knowledge gained through a pramanam, a given means of knowledge. Knowledge of anything gained through a given means of knowledge. Also, pramana utpadita vidya. He says, na nashyati. Pramana utpadita vidya na nashyati. Which means, the knowledge gained through, or in the word utpadita means produced by a pramanam. Produced means generated, produced means knowledge gained through a pramanam. Na nashyati cannot be, will not be displaced or does not perish. Cannot be negated. Here na nashyati means it cannot be displaced, it cannot be negated. It means that because the pramanam itself is the support, that the knowledge gained through a pramanam cannot be negated. Or does not get negated. Na nashyati. Does not get displaced. And suppose knowledge is gained through a given pramanam, and that pramanam is a weak pramanam. And again,
the information we collect through a weak pramanam can be negated by the information gained through a stronger pramanam. If the pramanam is stronger, and if the two pramanams, and if of them one is a strong pramanam, another one is a relatively a weak pramanam, then whatever is knowledge, whatever information is gained through a weak pramanam will be negated by a information gained through a stronger pramanam. So pramana utpadita vidya prabalam vina pramanam. Whereas here, what about the Advaita Jnanam, Advaita Darshanam here? This Advaita Darshanam, the vision of the non-duality of the reality, the vision of the reality, absolute reality being non-dual, gained through this Pramanam in terms of Vedanta Shastram, if it is negated or disproved by some other means of knowledge, then this knowledge gained through the Vedanta Shastram will be easily destroyed. But here, what is said here is, Vedantat prabalam manam na ikshate. We have to be 100% convinced and firm about it, that there is no possibility of the possibility that the knowledge gained through Vedanta Pramanam will be destroyed or negated. Why? Because Vedantam is the strongest Pramanam, Prabalam. And there is no stronger pramanam, there is no stronger means of knowledge than Vedanta Shastram. Vedantat prabalam. The fifth case, Vedantat compares actually. Vedantat prabalam manam na ikshate means there is no greater, much stronger pramanam than Vedanta. Vedantat prabalam manam na ikshate. There's no greater pramanam, stronger pramanam than Vedanta Shastram, which can negate Vedanta's, which can negate the vision knowledge gained through the Vedanta Shastram. Before, the vision of the non-duality of the reality gained through the Vedanta Pramanam cannot be negated by any other pramanam. Therefore, it is the ultimate fact and it is the ultimate truth. That is what is said in this verse. So, Vedantat prabalam manam na ikshate. And why? What is the reason? How do we say that there's no other pramanam which can negate or refute the vision gained through the Vedanta Shastram? How can you say that there's no other pramanam other than Vedanta Shastram? He said there are many pramanams, no doubt about it, but all of them serve as pramanam to know things within the realm of anatma, within the realm of matter, within the realm of ignorance only. All the pramanams serve their purposes and they are dealing with objects within the realm of the matter only. That is why it is said very clearly, so what is conveyed, what is gained through Vedanta is not negatable by any other pramanam, because there is no stronger pramanam than the Vedanta Shastra. So first it is said, prabalam vina means unless there is a stronger pramanam than a given pramanam, that what is gained through a given pramanam cannot be negated. And similarly here, in terms of the knowledge of the non-duality of the reality, there is no pramanam at all other than the Vedanta, and there is no definitely greater pramanam than the Vedanta Shastram to negate or to refute the ultimate vision gained through Vedanta Shastram. That is what is said in this 108th verse of second chapter. Now I'm going to go to the next verse, last concluding verse. Tasmad Vedanta Samsiddham. Tasmad Vedanta Samsiddham. Sadadvaitam na badhyate. Sadadvaitam na badhyate. Antakale pyato bhuta viveka nirvrutistita. Antakale pyato bhuta viveka nirvrutistita. Tasmad Vedanta Samsiddham Sadadvaitam na badhyate Antakale pyato bhuta viveka nirvrutistita. So what is said here? Tasmat. Now tasmat say means therefore. You say therefore, it therefore can be used only when something has been already concluded. So what has been already concluded? Anything gained through a given pramanam can be negated, refuted only if there is some other pramanam which is stronger than this, the previous one. And here, therefore, here, there's no greater pramanam than the Vedanta Shastram, or a stronger pramanam than the Vedanta Shastram. In fact, there's no other pramanam at all to gain knowledge of the truth. There are pramanams which reveal to gain knowledge of the things within the realm of the matter, ignorance. And here, therefore, what is ultimately gained through the Vedanta Pramanam is non-negatable, non-refutable. And that is the conclusion. And that is what's continued here. The first word is tasmat, therefore. Therefore. So therefore, what is it said here? Vedanta Samsiddham. So Vedanta Dwara Samsiddham, through the means of knowledge called Vedanta Shastram, Samsiddham. Siddham is itself means what? Already finally established or finally convinced the fact. Samsiddham. And Samsiddham means doubtlessly, non-negatively established. Vedantena, Vedanta Dwara Samsiddham. So the fact, the vision gained through the Vedanta Shastram or established by the Vedanta Shastram, what is it? Sat Advaitam Na Badhyate. That, what is the vision? The existence, the pure existence, the absolute reality being non-dual. So non-duality of the reality in terms of existence, which is nothing but pure consciousness, and is not negated. Na badhyate. Na badhyate is a passive verb. Na badhyate is not negated at all by any other pramanam. Is understood. Tasmat Vedanta Samsiddham Sad Advaitam. Sat Advaitam Sad Advaitam Na Badhyate. And Antakale Api Ataha Bhuta Vivekat Nirvritihi Sthita. So Antakale Api Na Badhyate. Which means, if a person has this clear vision of the reality, absolute reality, the ultimate truth, obtaining in the form of existence, being consciousness, no, which is the non-dual, and this fact a person has, understands. And what happens to this person when he gets old, when he is in deathbed also, antakale, even then the vision of the fact cannot be changed, cannot be afflicted, cannot be affected, cannot be negated. Because fact will remain the fact always. What was a fact will continue to be the fact, irrespective of what happens to the person. Whether a person is a deathbed or whether a person is alive, the person is okay or not, still the fact gained, understood once, cannot be changed, cannot be affected. So, antakale api na badhyate. So, we have to say, tasmat, because this is the fact that what is established by the Vedanta Shastram cannot be negated at all. And Vedanta samsiddham sat advaitam, this vision of the reality attaining in the form of pure existence, the pure consciousness, being non-dual, is not negated at all, is not affected at all, even the person is about to leave the physical body, antakale, even in the time of death, the fact, vision of the fact continues to be the fact. Then no problem, nothing happens. What it implies is, if the vision of the fact is there, clearly means that naturally the person is already free. Therefore, the death doesn't affect a person in any way. Ataha, therefore, what should do? Therefore, ataha again, therefore. Tasmat, due to the treason. Ataha, therefore. Ataha is an indeclinable word. Antakale api antakale pi ataha. Bhuta vivekat nirvrutihi. Bhuta vivekat nirvrutihi. Nirvrutihi. Nirvrutihi here means the relief. Nivrutihi. Bhuta nirvrutihi. Nivrutihi. We have two words here. Both are okay. Okay, nivrutihi or nirvrutihi. If you take anyway, the relief, the peace. So, bhuta vivekat nirvrutihi nivrutihi. And bhuta vivekat means, therefore, from this chapter, discussing the analysis of the elements. So, bhuta vivekat means from the second chapter, wherein the elements are analyzed from this chapter. We can have great relief. By understanding the teaching, we gained from this chapter where elements are analyzed, we can be relieved. We can have our peace. We can be peaceful. We can find relief. Which means, the knowledge will stay with us forever. the knowledge gained through the study, the teaching we will gain, will be there throughout our life until the last minute, until the last breath. So we'll have great relief. Great relief means relief from all forms of suffering, afflictions. So Bhuta Vivekathu means from this chapter, through the study, through understanding we have in this chapter on analysis of elements, ultimately we nirvrittihi stita means the relief will be there forever. The relief, the peace we gained through the understanding of the contents of the second chapter will remain forever, even until the last breath. Why? Because the vision clearly gained in terms of the Advaita Darshanam will not be affected at all. This is the concluding verse of the second chapter. Tasmad Vedanta Samsiddham Sadadvaitam na badhyate Antakalepyato Bhuta Viveka Nirvrutisthita. The Nirvrutihi is a feminine gender word, that's why sthita means it will be there forever firmly. I can give you the summary of the whole second chapter. So in this chapter on analysis of elements, we have seen just now there are 109 verses. And the whole chapter, the whole of the second chapter presents the teaching based on the teaching of, based on the fact established in the sixth chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. And the chapter, the sixth chapter of Chandogya Upanishad is otherwise called Sadvidya Prakaranam. Because Sadvidya Prakaranam itself means the Prakaranam, the chapter dealing with knowledge of the truth, reality, the existence. So here, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth implied by the term Brahma is discussed in terms of pure existence. Generally, many of the Upanishads, the absolute reality in terms of consciousness alone is discussed as Brahma. Whereas in the sixth chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, the same consciousness is analyzed in terms of pure existence. The Brahman is analyzed in terms of pure existence. So, there is a great advantage of understanding the absolute abstract reality in terms of its nature of pure existence. Because if the reality is only understood in terms of pure consciousness. Then all pervasiveness, the nature of the reality in terms of all pervasiveness is not understood or cannot be understood that very clearly. We say sarva vyapakatvam, sarva gatatvam. I'm repeating these two words. Sarva gatatvam, sarva vyapakatvam. Sarva gatatvam or sarva vyapakatvam means all pervasiveness. This all pervasiveness implies having spatial limitlessness, being spatially limitless. So limitlessness in terms of space. Okay, so being spatially limitless or all pervasiveness, which is otherwise said to be sarva gatatvam or sarva vyapakatvam, being the nature of the reality, cannot be understood very clearly if the reality is undiscussed, reality is arrived at in only in terms of consciousness. Of course, ultimately we have to understand the reality. There is no existence other than consciousness. They are not two, one and the same. But still, to understand how this consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness, to understand that fact, also very important to understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Therefore, it is good to understand here the reality in terms of existence. Even though we understand, we say the reality, the consciousness is all pervasive and it pervades everything in and through. But we cannot understand how the inert things such as doors, windows, or the wood, you know, the all inert, inanimate things, how they're all pervaded by consciousness. That we cannot understand. In an inanimate things, the consciousness being there cannot be understood. Therefore, we need some more explanation or extra explanation to understand how the reality in terms of consciousness pervades even all the inanimate things. To understand all pervasiveness of consciousness, we need more explanation. If at all we say there is consciousness in all the inanimate things, we don't understand because there is no medium. There is no appropriate medium for us to be able to appreciate the consciousness. There must be medium, there's a manifesting medium for the consciousness to be recognized. There's no manifesting medium on the part of the inanimate things. Therefore, there's no manifestation. Therefore, we cannot understand the consciousness being there. The manifesting medium in terms of the mind. Mind is the most beautiful, subtlest manifestations. subtlest of the manifestations. And such manifesting medium must be there to appreciate, understand the consciousness. So there's no such a thing called mind on the part of inanimate things. Therefore, there cannot be manifestation. There's no manifesting medium. Therefore, there cannot be manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, it is not possible for us to appreciate the consciousness there. Even the consciousness is very much there. Therefore, the Sarva Vyapakatvam, Sarva Gatatvam of even the fullness, Anandaha, cannot be understood. I mean, can be understood, it's difficult to understand how Anandaha, the happiness is all pervasive. So consciousness is all pervasive, we can understand easily because consciousness being all pervasive, consciousness can be understood only if there's manifestation. And there must be manifesting medium in terms of mind. Therefore, consciousness is there but cannot be understood. And similarly, even happiness being all pervasive cannot be understood. Therefore, if the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is also defined in terms of its nature of pure existence, then it is easy for us to understand clearly the all-pervasiveness. So all-pervasiveness of the reality cannot be understood if only reality is understood in terms of its nature of consciousness. All pervasiveness of reality can be understood only in terms of its nature of happiness. So all pervasiveness can be understood. All pervasiveness being the nature of reality can be understood only if we understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Because it is obvious, very obvious, that there is no space, no place where there is no existence. I'm repeating the sentence. There is no place, no space where there is no existence. When you say space is, and that along with the space, the expression is implies existence only. Therefore, understanding of the truth implied by the term Brahma in terms of existence is very, very important. Therefore, in this whole of second chapter, this reality in terms of its nature of existence is discussed here. So, Vidyaranya Swami, here introduces the chapter when he picks up this Chandogya Upanishad statement for analysis. I'm sure you all remember, many times I used to repeat when I was teaching this chapter, Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Yekameva Dvitiyam సదేవ సౌమ్య ఇదమగ్ర ఆసీత్ ఏకమేవాద్వితీయం. ఇట్ ఈస్ దిస్ స్టేట్మెంట్ వేర్ అబ్సల్యూట్ రియాలిటీ, ది అల్టిమేట్ ట్రూత్ ఎంప్లైడ్ బై ది టర్మ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ రివీల్డ్ యాజ్ ప్యూర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్, ద సత్. It is not existent, it is the very existence, known. Definitely, existence is one. We understand how existence is. If at all we want to analyze the existence, what could be the features, how existence is, we have to understand the first thing. Existence is one. It is secondless and non-dual. Existence is only one. And its existence definitely is not created, produced as a part of something, as a property of something, anything. So existence is absolutely independent, which means existence enjoys existence independently. Existence is not dependent on anything else for its existence. Therefore, it's independent. And the existence, just by its presence, lends existence to all the forms, names and functions. So existence enjoyed by every form, name and function is one and the same. So what, whichever form, name and function, whichever object, the existence is with. Existence is not limited by any one given form or the name of that form or the purpose the form serves or the function of the form. So existence is not at all limited by any form or its name or function. When the whole world shines, existence is in the form of the very universe. And we can see the universe enjoying existence. And even when the universe, the whole cosmos, the universe resolves, when the knowledge is manifest, not manifest, the universe resolves also, still existence continues to be there. Existence continues to exist. And without the world name, form and function in terms of the universe. Without the name, form, name and function in terms of the universe. When the universe exists, when there is existence, without the form, name and function in terms of universe. When there is existence, we call pure existence. And the pure existence cannot be experienced, is not available for experience. Because even the existence
can be understood only through given means of transaction. It means a medium must be there for transaction in terms of form, name and function. So when the universe shines, universe enjoys existence, we experience existence in the form of the universe. The whole universe can be reduced to three words: form, name and function. Rupam, Nama, Karma, or Nama, Rupa, Karmatmakam, Jagat. And when the whole universe resolves, then what happens to existence? The existence without the name, form and function is pure existence and which cannot be experienced, which is not available for experience. And that pure existence has to be understood only in terms of pure consciousness. The pure existence alone is there in the form of pure consciousness, because of the presence of which the whole universe being not available for transaction, the whole universe being unmanifest, is known. The whole universe being not available for experience is known. The experiencelessness is known because of the presence of the knower consciousness. And that, you know, that pure consciousness is the pure existence. This is how we understand the existence. Therefore, this pure existence in the form of pure consciousness was there. Was there means all is always there before the manifestation of the universe, which is otherwise called the creation of the universe and the origination of the universe. This existence alone was there. This absolute abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure existence, in terms of pure existence, was there, has been there beginninglessly, even before the universe came into existence. The universe became manifest. And this is a fact analyzed by Vidyaranya Swami in 44 verses from the verse number 2nd to the verse number 46. So we can say the portion dealing with enquiry into the nature of reality as existence, or Sat Swarupa Vicharaha. Sat Swarupa Vicharaha. Or Brahmanaha Sad Rupena Vicharaha. Sat Swarupa Vicharaha. And which is based on that statement, Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit. So we can easily say, until the 46th verse, absolute reality is analyzed in terms of its nature of existence in all these 46 verses. And for which
there must be a basis. And the basis is the statement from Chandogya Upanishad. And here we have to see how the Upanishad mentions. Upanishad reveals the fact Yekam Eva Advitiyam. The three words in this sentence, Yekam Eva Advitiyam, the three words, Ekam, one, Eva, emphatic expression, then Advitiyam, non-dual. Ekam, Eva, Advitiyam. So, these three words of the Upanishad are very important. Because all the differences are totally negated by these three words. Ekam, Eva, Advitiyam, these three words negate all forms of differences. Which means we have to understand the fact that there is no such a thing called a difference at all. A difference is a noun. We understand in English language. In Sanskritam we say bhedaha. Absolutely, there is no such a thing called a difference at all. So, whatever differences we experience now, they're all relative only. Just to say all these differences are not there, Upanishads makes us understand, reduce all difference into threefold differences in terms of sajatiya bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha and swagata bhedaha. So, sajatiya bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha and swagata bhedaha. So, these are the three possible differences. All the differences can be brought under these threefold differences. And these three words, ekam, eva, advitiyam, these three words negate all the differences. Which means the absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure existence is free from swagata bhedaha, because it is one indivisible, partless whole. Like the space, existence is all pervasive, one indivisible, undivided, partless whole. Therefore, it is free from swagata bhedaha. We cannot, there is no such a thing called its own divisible parts or components or limbs, etc. Secondly, this reality, the existence, in terms of existence, is free from sajatiya bhedaha also. Because existence, there's no second thing other than the existence. Existence is only there. For sajatiya bheda to be there, there must be one more existence. The Hajatiya Bheda is possible. There's no second existence. It's only one. Existence is one and the only one. Therefore, there's no Sajatiya Bheda. And second thing, and the next one is that this existence is free from Vijatiya Bhedha also, because there is no other thing, there's no second thing, other thing, there's nothing other than the existence. Therefore, there cannot be Vijatiya Bhedha. There's nothing other than existence here, reality here, absolutely. Therefore, Vijatiya Bhedha is also not possible. Therefore, what was before the universe came into existence, what was pure existence. Which means the absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure existence in terms of pure consciousness is not available for any interaction or transaction. So non-transactably reality existed, reality was in the form of pure existence as pure consciousness before the universe came into existence. Brahma avyavaharya rupena asit. So, vyavaharaha means transaction. Vyavaharyam means transactable. Avyavaharyam means non-transactable. So, the reality existed, reality was non-transactably avyavaharya rupena Brahma asit. This is the first thing to be understood. Then later, this is what is to be understood in all these first 46 verses. Later, from verse number 47 to the 59, in 12 verses, Vidyaranya Swami introduces the Maya, the power, unmanifest power of this reality, Brahman. So, Maya Vicharaha, enquiry into this nature of Maya. Enquiring the nature of Maya means what? The unmanifest power of the reality, otherwise known by the term Maya, is discussed in these verses 47 to 59. And here the doubt may arise, is this Maya separate from the reality Brahman? Is this power separable from Brahman? Does it have an independent existence of its own? If it has independent existence of its own, then we cannot call it Brahmanaha Shaktihi. The very expression Brahmanaha Shaktihi, Brahma Shaktihi, power of the reality, the very that of, expression of itself, Brahmanaha Shaktihi, power of the reality itself, implies its inseparability from Brahman. Because if this Maya is separate from Brahma, then definitely there will be all the differences. There will be definitely Vijatiya Bhedaha. Why? Because how can there be Vijatiya Bhedaha? If we see if Maya has independent existence, if Maya is different from, if Maya is separate from Brahman, Maya means unmanifested power. This power is different from Brahma. Then there will be Vijatiya Bhedaha. That is, this reality is, the reality obtaining in the form of existence is of the nature of consciousness. Whereas the power of reality is of the nature of inertness. So Maya being looked upon as something different from Brahman will result in the problem of duality being the reality. Another important thing is, this Maya is not separate. The unmanifest power, known with the term Brahma, Maya, is not separate from Brahma. At the same time, we cannot say Maya itself is the Brahman. If Maya itself is Brahman, the power itself is Brahma, then the two words should not be used. We cannot even say Maya is part of a Brahman. Part of Brahman. Because the reality is a partless whole. If the reality is a partless whole, then Maya cannot be part of Brahman. If reality is free from Vijatiya Bheda, Maya cannot be separate from Brahman. If Maya itself is Brahman, then we cannot even use two words. It means Maya is not identical with Brahman. Maya is not identical with Brahman, the reality. Maya is not separate from Brahma. The same time, Maya is not a part of Brahman also. Therefore, it is very important to understand here, the Maya is not really there. What is only the reality. And the power of reality is inseparable from the reality. Just as heat is inseparable from the fire, the power of reality is inseparable from Brahman. Reality. And this power is unmanifest, and this unmanifest power is just known by the term Maya. We cannot count this power as something real because it doesn't have existence independently outside of the reality. We can never say that heat enjoys existence by itself without the fire. Heat is means fire alone is. to understand this, the power of reality, another, it's a very subtle thing, but the grossest example given is, whenever you see your own shadow, how are you going to account for this shadow? You cannot say shadow is not there at all. Shadow is definitely is there. And this shadow is not identical with your real physical form. And shadow cannot exist independently without your physical form there. At the same time, shadow is also not part of your own physical body, your own form. But still, shadow cannot be negated as unreal. See, shadow is not identical with the form. Shadow is not separate from the form. And the shadow is not a part of the form. But still, shadow cannot be negated as unreal, because shadow is. Therefore, shadow cannot in any way contribute any additional value, or nor can it reduce the actual value of what is the given form. Similarly here, the power of the reality is also non-separate. And actually, this power of reality, be non-separate from the reality, is likened to a shadow in the Prashna Upanishad. Therefore, the Maya can be defined in two ways. One is, first definition of the Maya is, what is Maya? Sad Asat Vilakshanam Maya. Sad Asat Vilakshanam Maya. It means Maya cannot be said to be real, nor can it be negated as unreal. It is neither Sat nor Asat. It is not absolutely existent, nor is it non-existent. Therefore, it is distinct. We say Sadasat Vilakshanam Maya, which means it is apparently existent, a seemingly existent one. It is neither real nor unreal, but is seemingly real. And what is non-existent? That, you know, that which does not exist at all is non-existent. So Maya is not, the power is not non-existent. Therefore, it is seemingly real. You say, Sad Asad Vilakshanam. I'll continue the summary of this chapter again, where I left. I'm still discussing the Maya. After the 47th, from the 47th to the 59th, Maya is discussed. We'll take up this and I'll continue my summary. I'll finish it in the next class and I'll start the third chapter also next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namah Hari Om.